Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's been just already being in this place. If you have your Bibles with you this evening, if you would take it, turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. On Wednesday night, we've been going through and studying on the life of Noah. And it has been a tremendous study. We're actually coming to the last of the study on the life of Noah. We got this lesson and possibly just one more, maybe two more, but at least one more will be next Wednesday night. But we're coming to the end, and we've studied so much concerning the first civilization on earth and how God destroyed that after almost 1,700 years of mankind populating the earth. And God destroyed it. After he destroyed it, he saw Noah was the only righteous man in his family. And we find that through Noah, God started all over again, through Noah and his family. And as he built the ark, he gave the world Noah was a year in the ark after the flood or during the flood. And he had built the ark for about 100 years as we studied that. And so for 110 years, he was given the world opportunities to repent. They did not repent, and so he destroyed the world with the water. After the flood, and after Noah and his family come off the flood, God gave them the promise and made a covenant with them. A token was the rainbow in the sky to help them to remember that God did judge the world. And until that time, there had not rained on the earth, and so there was not a rainbow. But after that, they were to remember the judgments of God. They were to remember the grace of God, kept them alive, and the fact that God had a future purpose for them. And I think that's every time you see the rainbow in the sky, it ought to help us to be reminded of that. God is real. That's a token of his covenant with humanity, that nothing would change concerning the world as far as the atmosphere of the world, and that until he destroys the world with fire. And so we need to continue. We see that. We remember that God is a loving God, but a just God who judges sin, and that God still has his grace available to all that look to him. And we also know that God has a future purpose for humanity. We found, as we studied, then we got off from that point, studied some things, but the thing we've been looking at here the last few weeks is Noah's great sin. Noah's great sin, and he had kind of lowered his guard, and he wasn't battling spiritual battles as he was before. And before you know it, we find that Noah yields to the sin of alcohol, and he is drunk. And then we find that Ham sins against his father. And then Ham's fourth child, Canaan, was cursed by God. And we studied that last week, just why the fourth child and why not Ham? And I think that Ham was judged, and I think that Noah was judged, but the one that it affected most would have been the seed of the fourth child, which is Canaan, and then the seed of Canaan would be cursed from that point forward. And we studied that. We learned the main lesson there was that the sin of immorality and ungodly behavior is passed down to future generations. And not that that's God's will, but it's the fact of life. If there's not a more powerful influence that comes into that descendant's life, the generation to follow, they will follow the past, the sins of the fathers. And not only will they follow that, but it will continue to gradually get worse and worse. And so we studied some of that last week. Well, tonight, what we're looking at here, because we saw how God had judged Ham, but God blesses Shem and Japheth through Noah. And now there's three branches of humanity. And we find this in the study of the genealogies, and we find it in the study of Noah. And so we find that Noah's three sons are the branches of humanity. Shem, if you'd study chapter 10, we haven't looked at this, and we won't be going into this because it's the study of Noah, but I do want to present it to you. Shem would have been the genealogy of the Middle Eastern people. Now, as we study the genealogies given to us in chapter 10, we find this to be true, and this would include the promised seed of Israel. Promised seed of Israel, the nation of Israel, would come out of the bloodline of Shem. Ham, would the bloodline of Ham would be the Orientals, the African, and then the Canaanites. And the Canaanites, Cain being the fourth child of Ham. And that's the one that the Canaanites would come from. And then Japheth would be the European nations. And so these are the breakdown of the three branches of humanity. And that's where all humanity can be linked back to these three sons and ultimately to Noah. But those are the different peoples and the bloodline that they would come from, those three branches. Well, tonight, if you will, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to read this again, verse 20 down to verse 27. And be looking at Shem and Japheth and how they handled the sin of their father and how God blessed them for how they dealt with the sins of their father and their brother. And it's important here because we find that's what God gives us here as we're coming to the end of Noah's life, and Noah's sins affected his sons, but it didn't affect all of his sons. Because two of the sons handled Noah's sin in a right way. Only one of the sons handled the sins of Noah in a wrong way. And he was affected by that negatively. And so let's look here. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken and was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And now let's pray. Father, as we bow before you again, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church on this Wednesday night. We thank you for what we've already studied and learned from the life of Noah. And yet, Lord Father, as we come to you tonight, there is much more. And I think that the lesson tonight is very important. So I pray that you'd help us, each and every one, to put everything else out of our hearts and our minds and focus on what you have for us this evening. Pray that you would bind Satan from being a hindrance to anyone here. And Lord, help us all just to look to you and receive what you have for us. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, there's so much here we've already studied, but I wanted to go back over that to be able to help you understand Ham's sin and then, of course, the judgment upon Ham. Now, this is Noah is the one that is presenting these prophecies of what is going to take place with his three sons. But we know that it's not, if it's in the Bible, then everything that's in the Bible is inspired by God. It's God's holy word. And God would have been the one that inspired Noah to say what he said and to write down, or actually Moses was the ones that recorded, wrote it down, but it would have been God directing in order for them to understand what God saw in the future. Praise the Lord. God is an omniscient God. He knows all things. God is an eternal God. God is a sovereign God. God can see everything in the past, present, and future. And we don't fully understand that because we cannot understand that because we have limitations on our thinking. Amen. But as we read the Bible and God reveals himself to us, then we know of the attributes of God. And we just know that this is not something that God forced to happen. He did not predestinate this to happen, but God saw into the future and he knew what would take place. And because of the sin, he said, because of the sin, there is a curse upon Ham and his descendants because of the influence of the sin and what they were possibly influenced by and more susceptible to as well. And so we find here Shem and Japheth. Now we studied the sin of Ham and the judgment of Ham. And now look here, the godly character of Shem and Japheth and how they dealt with the sins of Noah. So we find here in verse 23, in Shem and Japheth, verse 22 first of all, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now, if you would really study how that is presented, what I am told is that is presented in a way of not coming to them with remorse over what he had done. The Bible does not get graphic in what he did, but we can understand what he did by Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And so we studied already some of that. But the idea there was that he was somewhat going to his brothers and trying to get his brothers to go and partake of some of the very same sinful activities that Ham had engaged with his father. And when he went to Shem and Japheth, they would have to reject the sins of their brother and the encouragement of their brother, and they would have to deal with the sins of their father. And so we find here, that's what the Bible says. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And so we find that they responded differently than Ham. And how they responded reveals the character of those individuals. And because of the character of the individuals and the sin that Ham did and the righteous behavior of Shem and Japheth, we find that's why God says this is the future of this, the seed line of these three men. And he tells us that. They responded differently. First thing that they did is they took action to correct the problem caused by sin. Now, I love that. They can't go back and undo the sin. How blessed it would be if once we found out that we had a family member, parents, a child, even children, their parents, a brother or sister, a loved one, and you found out of their sin that you could trace it, go backward in time and trace them back and stop them before they committed the sin. Now, that would be a tremendous blessing. That would be a great help. But we can't do that. You can't go back and retrace the steps and keep it from happening once it's already happened. You can't go back and you can't change what has already taken place. And so what the most important thing that we can do in dealing with our past sins or dealing with the sins of others past is deal with it in a right way. Don't just turn your head to it or plant your head in the sand and act like it didn't exist and act like you didn't hear about it and try to think it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. And sins affect not only that individual, but it affects everyone that comes in contact with the individual that has sin in their lives. And as we've already seen, it will be passed down from generation to generation to generation until that has been stopped. Until some generation has a more powerful influence that comes into their life and they turn away from the sins of their father and they turn to God. God is that more powerful influence in their lives. But when we are faced with past sins, whether it be the past sins of our own past sins or the past sins of our family members or past sins of loved ones, it is critically important, and it reveals somewhat of a godly character that we would deal with sin the way that God would have us to deal with the sins of the past. And so the first thing that they did when they was confronted with the sin, Ham brings it to them in somewhat of a temptation and trying to and bragging about what he had done. He was not trying to do right by his father. He was not trying to help his father, even though his father opened the door to the sin of Ham by getting drunk. But he was taking advantage of that. And the brothers, as he brought that to them, they immediately realized that they did not want any part of that sin and that they were going to deal with the sin the best they could. They took action to correct the problem caused by the sin. What was that? They knew they needed to go cover their father. And that's the first thing they did there. They took a garment. laid upon both their shoulders, went backward, covered the nakedness of their father. Now, that has even more underlying activity there and understanding there. We'll not get into a lot of that, but just understand that what had, the sin had been taken, that had taken place, and now they were dealing with it and trying to help the situation, correct the problem caused by the sin. They did what needed to be done. It's not always convenient to do the right thing in dealing with sin. It's not always the easiest thing. Matter of fact, it's a lot harder to deal with it than to just act like it didn't exist. Too many parents raising teenagers, they don't want the hassle, they don't want the battle, they don't want the fight, and so they just turn their head and act as if it didn't happen. Sometimes too many spouses will do that. And they just hope it'll go away. It's not going to go away. It's going to affect the individual and then others around them more and more as it continues. Galatians in chapter 6. Galatians in chapter 6. The New Testament addresses this. Jesus addressed that. We're going to see both of this, but Galatians in chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." Those that have a desire to handle it the right way. Those that understand that sin cannot go unchecked. Sin, if left to itself, will get worse and worse, generation to generation, and it will continue to destroy lives. So ye which are spiritual, when you want to do the right thing, when you're looking to God and you want to handle it the way that God wants you to handle it, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Restore such a one. How can you restore somebody unless you go to that individual and reveal to them that you know about their sin? And you want to deal with it head on, face to face, and you want to bring it out so that you can look at what you're doing. Look at the sin that is being committed here and the results of that sin. You can't restore somebody until they have come to the place and they face it and they confess their sin. First of all, yes, I'm guilty of that sin. If they never confront the sin, they will never confess the sin. If they never confess the sin, they'll never ask forgiveness for the sin. If they never ask forgiveness for the sin, they cannot be restored. Won't happen. And so, ye that are spiritual, when it comes to you that a brethren has been overtaken in a fault, especially if it's someone that is connected to you that you have an opportunity to talk to, whether it be a brother in the church, a sister in the church, whether it be your own parents, whether it be your own children, no matter who it is. If you find it and it's been brought to you and you now have to make a decision, what do I do with this sin? Address it. Deal with it the way God would have you to deal with it. First of all, take action to correct the problem caused. Let's stop the sin. Let's cover our Father. Can I tell you that Christians must learn how to biblically respond? It's not up to the world. God's not looking to the world and how they deal with sin. God's looking to the believers. He's looking to His church. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Churches, because of not dealing with sin in the right way, and church members not dealing with sin in the right way, have destroyed churches. You find church splits over and over again. And if you trace it back to the problem, it will always be traced back to not dealing with sin in a biblical way. Always. Satan is going to try to destroy the church. And he destroys the church by getting God's people to turn away from how God would have you to deal with things, how God would have you to respond to things. Because if you're looking to God, Satan has no power over you. And he cannot destroy the church. He cannot cause problems in the church. If everyone is dealing with the sins, sin's going to happen. We're all sinners. We're all, at some point or other, you're going to fall short of being all that you should be. You're going to fail. You're going to do something. It's not that God is expecting us to be sinless. He's expecting us to sin less and less. But when we do sin, he's expecting us to deal with it, according to 1 John 1:9, the way God wants us to deal with it. Confess that sin. If you're never confronted with the sin, you'll never confess the sin. So we find here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. God's will is that you gain your brother, that you be in unity as a church family, as a your own family, as a church family, as a Christian nation, if you will. God desires for us to be united in serving him and accomplishing what God has us here to accomplish. That's the idea. And sin will hinder that union. It'll hinder that type of fellowship. And so when that has come between you and another Christian, another brother, the Bible says, deal with that sin the way that God wants you to deal with that sin. Go to him one-on-one and confront whatever it is that is sin or hindering that relationship. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Do not drop the ball right there. Well, I tried. I did my part. No, you didn't follow through. Because if you don't get the right and the desired response, if you didn't deal with it and it's not going in the right direction, it's not finished. You started something that you need to finish. Amen? Well, I just won't start it. There you go. Then you want to stick your head in the sand and just let the sin continue to affect other people. Listen, that's not the way to deal with it. Christians need to learn that it's our responsibility to handle sin the way God would have us to handle sin, not to be partakers of the sin, but when you realize that that is sin, then do what you can to stop the sin. And you stop the sin and the effects of the sin by addressing it the way God would have us to address it. And so you go to the person. Many times we go to the person, it's not exactly the way that you heard it. It's not exactly the way it's going on. And so there's a lot of things there, but you at least you know that. And now you might not have got it worked out, but do not stop if it's not worked out. Do exactly what the Bible says from that point, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And that is one or two. That is not going to somebody that you know is going to side with you, and they know that's going to side with you. That's not going to help. You go to somebody that has spiritual insight that possibly is neutral in the situation, who can moderate the situation and try to bring the two sides together, understanding what the words of God. And if you're a member of the church, you have the, not only the pastor, but you have pastoral staff, and you have spiritual individuals in the church that would be very much qualified to sit down with you and with the other person and try to help you to understand this is what the Bible says and this is what we need to do. If they will not do that, if once they've heard from a spiritual, neutral party that says this is what's right and this is what God would have us to do, then the Bible says, don't stop there, take it to the next level. And the Bible says, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. The church is God's authority here. And the church's authority is the Bible. If he shall neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, Let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican, an unbeliever, if you will, a sinner, dealt with properly. When it has to, that is the procedures that God has given to us. We want God's blessings, and we need to use godly character in dealing with the sin, as did Shem and Japheth. They took action to cover their father. Can I tell you that God will reward righteousness in due time? Well, I did that, and boy, just everything fell apart. Well, I don't know that you followed through in doing that and it fell apart. But sometimes you can't control how people are going to respond. But the Bible tells us that God will bless righteousness in due season. Matter of fact, Galatians, again, go back there, the very same chapter, the very same book that he was dealing with it, telling you to confront the individual and restore the individual. The Bible says there in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. Well, I tried that once before and it didn't work. If it's God's word, you keep doing it. Don't judge whether it worked or not by the outcome. Because God will not force. But it's if you did things according to the Bible, then you will be blessed by God concerning that in due time. And let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. If you continue to do it, no matter what happened the last time, continue to follow the words and the procedures that God has given to us, because that's what God will bless in due time. Amen? I'm telling you, as we get closer and closer to the end of this world, Satan is going to work harder and harder to destroy churches like this. Churches that are preaching and teaching the truth that will not waver concerning the Word of God. Amen. And how he's going to work is through the membership of the church. And as we have these temptations to just let it go, and these temptations to not deal with, and these temptations, listen to me, you got to fight those off and realize, I cannot, if it's addressed, if I've been pulled into this situation, I'm aware of it, then I am accountable to God for whatever it is that I've been made aware of. If you've been made aware of it, then you are accountable for what you know. And it is your responsibility to do with that information that you have exactly what God would have you to do with it and deal with things in a biblical way. Amen. Amen. That's just the Bible. That is Bible. It's going to get more and more difficult to do that. But it's exactly what we need to do. It's exactly what we need to do because it's God's plan. Well, not only did they do what needed to be done to correct the problem caused by the sin, they needed to stop the sin. And they needed to cover him up before anyone else would be tempted, as was Ham, possibly one of Ham's other children. I believe that Canaan was in on it as well, and that's why it was the fourth child. It was Canaan that was cursed. And so they did what needed to be done. And as they did what needed to be done, what I like about this is they showed this. Shem and Japheth took precautions in dealing with the sin. Did you see that? They took precautions in dealing with the sin of their father. They didn't want to be drawn into the same sin, influenced by their father or influenced by Ham. And so look what the Bible said they did. Look back there with me. They took a garment because they knew they needed to cover him. Laid upon both their shoulders. They worked together. And went backward. And went backward. Covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward. And they saw not. their father's nakedness. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, as we are looking to help those, it says to consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I had a brother. Brother was instrumental in me being in the ministry, instrumental in me going to an independent fundamental Baptist church. He was actually in college, graduated from a Baptist college. He was actually part of Lighthouse in the very beginning, part of getting this church started. I worked for him. He fell into sin, a sin that took him out of the ministry. Even though I loved my brother and I wanted him to find the help that he needed, I knew from the very beginning I was not the one that could help him. Because I knew what it would do to me. I made sure he had the help available. I made sure that the right people offered help to him. But I knew, because he was someone that I looked up to. He was someone that impacted my life. I was not the one. There's sometimes we deal with situations and you have to do something about it because you've been pulled into the sin and the circumstances of the sin. But you have to consider yourself. You have to know just what you're able to handle and what you're not able to handle. Because sometimes I've seen people try to help other people that was stronger in their rebellion than they were in their faith. And they began to influence them more than they were able to help. And they pulled them right into the very same sin. They said, we're not going to let Ham do that to us. And we're not even going to take any chance at all that we will be tempted and view our father's nakedness. They took precautions. When you're dealing with somebody, especially a loved one, someone that is close to you, you have to take precautions. And if God would have you to, then you be the one to help them. If you cannot do that, then you make sure they get the help or the help is available to them. But make sure that we're following through with what God tells us to do in helping those that have fallen into sin. The Bible says to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Do not expose your family nor yourself. This is a mistake so many families do. They're raising their own children, and their families have sinful situations, and you know that you want them to be helped. And because you have such a desire to help some people, you bring those people into your own home. You bring that influence into your own lives, and before you know it, it's already affected your children. Before you know it, it's already hindered your spirituality. It's hindered your peace and your refuge in your own home. You cannot do that. You have to take precautions. And the last thing that you would want to do to bring this evil and this evil influence into your own home to where it destroys the safety and it destroys the refuge of your own home. Listen to me, that is not the will of God. Do not put that kind of pressure on yourself to expose your own family to things that will hinder the peace of God. Take precautions. You're going to be dealing with sins. I mean, that's just part of life. You're going to be confronted with loved ones. You're going to be confronted with church members. You're going to be confronted with all sorts, maybe spouses, parents. Oh, we have to use godly wisdom and knowing how to confront them. God gives us this. This is written down. We see the difference in how Ham handled the father's Noah's great sin and how Shem and Japheth handled Noah's great sin. And it made a difference, not only in their own lives, it made a difference in generation after generation after generation to follow. Their blessing. Look there with me. Shem, verse 26. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." Now, when you first read that, you think, "Blessed be Shem by the Lord God," but that's not what it says. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Now, what is that? What it's revealing there is Shem's God would be the Lord God, which made all the difference in the world. Because he was seeking God, and God is rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. He was seeking how to handle it God's way. And God, Noah, says to him, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." Shem's God would be the true God. His spiritual desires would lead him to look to the true and living God. And he would pass that down to his descendants. And they would pass that down to their descendants. From Shem would come the promised seed of Israel, God's chosen people. God looked into the future and he said, because of your desire and your desire to look to me, then what is going to be your blessing as you look to me is I will be, you will have the true and living God. There's going to be a lot of other people and there's going to be a lot of other so-called gods that they're going to look to, but Shem, your blessing will be, I will be your God. And God chose carry on the promised seed of the Messiah by choosing the nation of Israel from the bloodline of Shem. They would be given the Holy Scriptures, the very words written down by the finger of God as Moses receives them when he's up on the mount, to take to the descendants of Shem. They would have the very words of God written down. To them would come the seed of David and ultimately the Messiah. They would conquer and enslaved the Canaanites. That's what it says. Not only says that God will be the God of Shem, but it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servants." It was the Canaanites that was in the promised land that Israel slew on their way into the promised land. Japheth, as we close here, look at Japheth. God shall enlarge Japheth. What does that mean? It means that his descendants would fill more of the earth than Shem. He would have a greater population on the earth. The European nations would be more than the Middle Eastern people. He would enlarge him. His descendants would fill more of the earth. There would be more of the Gentiles than there would be of the Jews, basically. Because that comes into play on the very next promise. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. He shall dwell in the tents of Shem. The spiritual housing of Shem. The Gentiles would be invited to be the fellow heirs with the Jews of the grace of God. I mean, God is saying this. This is the beginning of the new world. And this new world would be continuation of what God would bless. And he says, from these three branches of all humanity, this is what's going to take place. Not that God predestined it, he said, but because of the influence, that's what would be passed down from generation to generation. And as God looked into the future, he said, this is what will take place with all three of the branches of humanity. Wow. What a God. Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16. And we're going to close here. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. As God had something for Paul to do. Romans in chapter 1 and verse 16, it says this. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Look right here. To the Jew first. To the descendants of Shem. Now, anyone and everyone, it's not predestined, but the influence is going to be harder to overcome. But the influence of the Jews would be, they would have the true God. And the Old Testament, they would have the true God. And true God, Jesus, came of a Jew. And the true God would give them the first opportunity to receive him. Boom, they didn't. Then Japheth was able to go into his tents. And Paul says, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or the Hebrew, or the Gentile. Wow. Not all would believe, but they would have the opportunities above anyone else. Why was that? It's because the character of Ham and how he dealt with sin. That's where it started. The character of Shem and Japheth and how they dealt with sin. And how it was passed down. How you deal with sin today, it will affect those around you. And it will affect those who are influenced mostly by you, and that's your own seed. Your offspring. What I see from this more than anything else is the reality of God. When you study the Bible as God has given to us, and you understand what God would have us to understand through these biblical stories and understand these biblical principles and biblical truths, how can you not see God? How can you not witness the hand of God throughout all the history of humanity? It's been written down for us all along. We go back over the history, and it's exactly the way that God said it would be. He saw the way they would go. What an omniscient God. How are we dealing with sin? How are we dealing with sin? Do we have the spiritual desires to handle it? You're going to face it, but do you have the spiritual desire to handle it the way God would have us? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed.